Welcome to Wednesday Night Worship at First Baptist. Tonight's speaker is Dr. Jeff Reynolds.
Amen. You may be seated. Praise the name of the Lord our God. Let's pray. Father, we do praise your name. You are God over all, and you are forever praised. And we pray that now as we turn to your word, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would move in us, that you would work in us that which is pleasing in your sight, and that you would be glorified even now. Make us more like Jesus, for it's in his precious and holy name that we pray. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to look at one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And I know I say that every week, but I really, really mean it this time. I love a good pregame speech. I mean, there's not much better than a good, rousing pregame speech. I loved receiving them when I was a player. I loved giving them as a coach. There is nothing like gathering up the team and giving them that final injection of courage and strength to go out and face the contest that is coming. Tonight, I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. If you are in the Pew Bible, that is page 178. If you are a YouVersion event user, it's not up yet, but it will be by the time this hits Facebook. So please forgive us for that little lapse that will never happen, but it happened today. Today's been a good day for things that never happened to happen. So, Joshua chapter 1 in the Red Pew Bible in front of you, that is page 178, and I want to give you this pregame speech, and I want you to see the power of what's getting ready to happen in the life of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Aren't you ready to take the hill? Aren't you ready to go? I mean, we're reading through Joshua right now, and if you're up to date on the reading plan, you're seeing conquest by faith. Isn't that powerful? God is leading them to conquer this land that he had promised to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob and to the tribes, and now all the way down to Moses. God is leading them to conquer this land, and they will not conquer by the force of their military might. They will not conquer by the wonderful adeptitude, their ability to strategize. They will conquer by faith. They will conquer because God is their God, and God will lead them to possess that which he promised to them. It's conquest by faith, and it's remarkable. But Joshua is going to have to be the one to lead them. God made the promise to Abraham. God reiterated the promise to Isaac. God reiterated the promise to Jacob. God reiterated the promise to the tribes, and then they spent 430 years in slavery. And now Moses goes in, and God reiterates the promise to Moses. You will lead them out of captivity, out of slavery, into that land, that good land, that land flowing with milk and honey, that promised land. You will lead them, and what happened? Well, They sent spies into the land that was flowing with milk and honey, and the spies came back, and 10 out of the 12 spies said, yep, God was right. The land truly is flowing with milk and honey. It is a rich land, but they have big fortified cities, and they have big fortified people, and we look like grasshoppers in their eyes, and we look like grasshoppers in our own eyes, so we better not go. But there were two men who stood up. Two of the spies stood up and quieted the people, Caleb and Joshua. You want a little preacher humor? I got this joke from Dr. C. Wyman Copus. He said, there's a man in the Bible who had no parents. Does anybody know who it was? Joshua, the son of Nun. Anybody? Anybody? Thank you, Dr. Copus. But Caleb and Joshua stood up and said, no, if the Lord is with us, then we will surely be able to do it. And the people rebelled and they revolted. And they cried out against God. They cried out against Moses. And they cried out against Joshua and Caleb. And what happened? God said, okay, you're right. This generation won't go into the promised land. Matter of fact, I'm not taking these people into the promised land until all of your bodies have dropped in the desert. Anybody who's 20 and below, they'll get to go. Caleb and Joshua, they'll get to go. But none of you will go. No, for the next 40 years, you will wander in the desert until the last one of you has died, and then you will go. And remember, not even Moses gets to go into the promised land. Now, he gets to see it. But remember, Moses got mad at the people who were complaining about not having water again after they had already seen God bring water from a rock. And Moses went before God, and God said, go to the rock. And Moses went out, and this time Moses had an attitude, and he hit the rock with the stick and said, you want water? Boom, here it is. Well, he didn't exactly treat God as holy before the eyes of the people. And as a result, Moses did not get to go into the promised land. He got to see it. He got to look upon it, but he did not get to go into the promised land. And so now, Joshua will be the one who will lead God's people into the land that he promised to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the tribes, Moses, and now Joshua. Joshua will be the one to lead them across the Jordan into that land that is flowing with milk and honey, into that which will become their possession because God had given it to them. And Joshua has been serving Moses for the last 40 years. He's been his assistant for the last 40 years. Joshua got to see Moses up close and personal. And now Moses is dead. And for the last 40 years, Joshua has served alongside Moses. Joshua had done everything that Moses told him to do as the Lord had commanded him to do it because Joshua was a man who trusted God. Joshua's name, Yehoshua, means Yahweh saves. There's another person in the Bible named Yahweh saves. In Aramaic, you pronounce it Jesus. Yeah, same word. Yeshua, Yehoshua, Yahweh saves. Joshua will be the one to lead them across, but Joshua needs a pep talk. Because here's the thing about Joshua. He had served so closely with Moses, and 40 years previous, he had seen the people revolt not only against Moses, but against him as well. So he knew what it was to watch the people of Israel grumble. He knew what it was to watch the people of Israel turn away. He knew what it was to watch the people of God not follow God. And now, he will be the one who's in charge of leading them. So what does God say to him? How many times does God say to him in this passage of 9 verses, be strong and what? Courageous. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and courageous. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. And I've always focused when I've preached this text on these 9 verses, but there was something that grabbed a hold of me as we were coming through the reading plan. See, the Bible, every time you read it, you're going to see something new. It's excavation. You go down a quarter of an inch and you learn something new about God. You read the Bible and you meet its author, and you fall more deeply in love with him. There was something powerful that I noticed as we were coming through, particularly the last few chapters of the book of Deuteronomy. So that's what I want to show you tonight. So we're going to flip just a little bit. But I want you to remember in Exodus chapter 3 when God called Moses. God called Moses from the burning bush, and he called him to an impossible task. Go to the place where you're a fugitive from justice and lead my people out against the king of the earth. And go before the Pharaoh and say, let my people go. If you remember, Moses Well, he wasn't too thrilled about that ministry assignment. He tried to get out of it. He didn't want to go. What if they don't believe me? I don't talk so good, Lord. How am I supposed to know? I mean, what am I supposed to tell them when they say, who sent you? And God gives him this reply. He says, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. This is Exodus 3:7. You don't have to turn there. I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, but I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. God had to impart to Moses courage. And throughout the course of Moses' time with Joshua, Moses had to impart to Joshua courage. The theme for the message tonight is this: few investments are more impactful than modeling, teaching, and bestowing courage. Few investments are more impactful than modeling, teaching, and bestowing courage. This is Moses. And when God appeared to him out of a bush that was ablaze but not consumed, speaking to him with the angel of the Lord upon holy ground where he had to take his sandals off his feet, he argued with God. I don't want to go. No, I don't care, Moses, you're going. How many of you have ever had a conversation like that with God? Anybody? I really don't want to go, Lord. So? I didn't ask you if you wanted to go. I said you were going. I've had one within the last 3 years and a few months. You're going to go be the pastor of First Baptist Church. Who am I that I should go be the pastor of First Baptist Church, Bowling Green, Kentucky? Have you ever seen that place? It's huge. They don't want me. I didn't ask if you want to go. You're going. Well, they won't vote me in. Watch this. And only four of you had sense enough to vote no. Who am I, Lord? Doesn't matter. I said go. Okay. But notice, if you turn back one page from Joshua chapter 1 to Deuteronomy chapter 34, in the last book of the Pentateuch, I want you to look at the last three verses of the Pentateuch, Deuteronomy 34, 10 through 12. Listen to how Moses is described. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him. For all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. So this man who at age 80 was sniveling before God and trying to get out of it, who had to lead the people of Israel through wandering in the desert for 40 years because they were without faith and opposed everything God tried to do, this man who could not enter the promised land because he hit the rock with the stick because he was fed up with the people. And if you've ever led anything, you know what that feels like. This is how the Bible describes him. So what we learn about Moses is in that 40 years between age 80 and age 120, when God was working in him and through him, he was modeling for his assistant courage. And that courage came from a source. God gave it away in Exodus chapter 3. Who am I, Lord, that you would send me to do this? What did God say? I'll go with you. I'll be with you everywhere you go. He's not anymore, but my little boy used to be scared of the dark, and I mean scared of the dark, as in you couldn't drag him into a darkened room. You could tell him there were 400 pieces of chocolate in that room, but he had to go without the lights on to get it, and he wasn't going. But there was one way that he would walk into any dark room, and only one. You know what it was? If his daddy was with him. If Daddy was with him, it didn't matter what the room was. It didn't matter how dark it was. It didn't matter if it wasn't even worth going in there. If I was with him, he would go in, and he would not only go in, he would go in with an attitude. Because he felt like there was nothing in that room that could conquer this giant of a man who was walking next to him, right? What did God say to Moses? Here's your courage, Moses. I'll go with you. And by the end of his time, by the end of his 40 years, when he was 120 years of age and died, this is how he is described. There's not arisen a prophet like him at the time of this writing. There would be one who would come. Moses himself prophesied that there would be a prophet who came like him. His name was Jesus. So Moses modeled courage. That's number one. Moses modeled courage for Joshua by carrying out his own calling in the power provided by God's presence. I will be with you everywhere you go. And so he was. But now, I want you to look at Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 1 through 8. Moses knew that even though he would not go into the promised land, that the people needed an under-shepherd under the shepherd who is God to lead them. And so God gave Joshua to succeed Moses. And I want you to look at verses 1 through 8, Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 1 through 8. So Moses continued to speak these words to all Israel, and he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I am no longer able to go out and come in. The Lord has said to me, you shall not go over this Jordan. The Lord your God himself will go over before you. He will destroy these nations before you so that you shall dispossess them, and Joshua will go over as your head, as the Lord has spoken. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. And the Lord will give them over to you, and you shall do to them according to the whole commandment that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. So Moses is saying this to the whole group of people. He's saying this to all of Israel. He's saying, this is the promise that God is giving you. But now watch what he does in verse 7. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Does that sound like something we've heard recently? It sounds an awful lot like what God said to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. It sounds an awful lot like the very text we just read in the pregame speech that God was giving Joshua. And the reason it sounds an awful lot like it is because it's the exact same thing. So here's what was the powerful revelation to me as I was coming through this passage. God not only spoke directly to Joshua, which was powerful, but God also spoke the exact same words and the exact same message through Joshua's mentor into Joshua. And to me, that opens up a whole new world. It's the image here. Teach courage. Number two is that Moses taught courage to Joshua by revealing to Joshua the source of his own courage. What does Moses here in Deuteronomy 31 say to Joshua? Be strong and courageous. Why? Because the Lord your God, Yahweh, will be with you everywhere you go. He's not going anywhere. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. Be strong and courageous. And so not long after that, when Moses is now dead and it's time to get on it, God repeats the same thing. But the gift that God gave Joshua through Moses was giving him that mentor relationship, where Moses poured into Joshua the message of God so that when the time came for Joshua to go, God merely had to remind him of what he had already told him through his mentor. And how powerful is that? How powerful is it that God would speak through human lips to encourage a man for a job he wasn't going to do just yet, but to prepare him for it, so that when the time came for the pregame speech, Joshua wasn't getting new news, He wasn't getting a new word. He was getting, thus saith the Lord, but these words ought to sound familiar. You've already heard them. Well, now, I want to give you number three. Moses bestowed courage to Joshua. Moses bestowed courage to Joshua by imparting to him that which the Lord had given Moses. I want to read to you from Numbers 27. When we learn that Joshua was going to succeed Moses. Listen to this in the notations there. This is verses 12 through 23. The Lord said to Moses, "Go up into this mountain of Abarim and see the land that I have given the people of Israel. When you have seen it, you also shall be gathered to your people, as your brother Aaron was, because you rebelled against my word in the wilderness of Zin, when the congregation quarreled, failing to uphold me as holy at the waters before their eyes." These are the waters of Meribah at Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin. Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation, who shall go out before them and come in before them, and who shall lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be as sheep that have no shepherd." So the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Make him stand before Eleazar the priest and all the congregation, and you shall commission him in their sight. You shall invest him with some of your authority, that all the congregation of the people of Israel may obey. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire for him by the judgment of the Urim before the Lord. At his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the people of Israel with him, the whole congregation." And Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and made him stand before Eleazar the priest and the whole congregation, and he laid his hands on him and commissioned him as the Lord directed through Moses. So what is Moses doing? He's imparting to Joshua that which the Lord has given him. And now flip back to Deuteronomy 34, because there's one little verse in that paragraph before it tells us that there hasn't arisen a prophet like Moses since. I skipped verse 9, and I skipped it on purpose. "And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses." So what did Moses do as Joshua's mentor, as, if you will, Joshua's spiritual father for the last 40 years of Moses' life? He poured into him that which God had poured into Moses. He taught him courage. But he didn't teach it with words alone. No, he modeled it. It was this Moses who tried to get out of it when the bush was on fire but not burning up, was the same Moses who stood boldly on the side of God for the next 40 years. Not only did he model it, he imparted it. That's what I love about this picture. What do you see here? You see a little girl who's struggling. I don't know if they're doing push-ups. I don't know what they're doing. But she's struggling, and you can see the despair on her face. But what do you have? You have presumably mama who's down there with her. Be of good courage. Be strong. Be courageous. What a heritage. What a legacy. And people who have truly embraced wisdom understand that there is a greater heritage and a greater legacy that we can receive from those who come before us. It's Elisha asking Elijah when Elijah said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Elisha said, "What? Give me a double portion of your anointing. That's all I ask." You ask for a lot. But see, Elisha understood in his wisdom that there was a greater inheritance that he could receive from Elijah that didn't have anything to do with stuff. It had everything to do with a spiritual investment. That's the sort of investment that Moses made in Joshua. Few investments are more impactful than modeling, teaching, and bestowing courage. I bet right now, if you think, you can think of somebody who's done that very thing for you. Maybe they've done it recently because you were going to sing at church and you didn't know if you could, but they said, you got this, and you did. Or maybe it was recently that you were going to get on a plane and fly across an ocean on a mission trip and you'd never done that before, but they looked at you and said, you got this, it's going to be okay. See, I've been before and God's taken me there and God's seen me all the way there and God's been there with me while I was there and God's seen me all the way home and God's allowed us to have fruitful ministry while we were there. See, there is something powerful about modeling, teaching, and bestowing courage. So here's my question for us, and it's right there at the bottom. Into whose life are you investing by modeling, teaching, and bestowing courage? By modeling, teaching, and bestowing whatever it is that the Lord has given you. That's part of your job. Titus chapter 2, remember, says the old men are to teach the young men, and the older women, because there's no such thing as old women, older women are to teach the younger women, right? Why? Because men know how to be men better than women know how to be men, and women know how to be women better than men know how to be women, and it just works out that way. It's almost as if God designed it that way. So, into whose life are you investing? So that's our challenge during our time of prayer. Thank you, God, for the people that have invested and continue to invest in me, and now, Lord, show me, how can I teach courage? Let's pray.